Welcome
Congratulations.
to a special end of 1 year of Sacred Realms episode of Sacred Realms, where we take a look back over the past year and reframe where we're going in the next year. So, good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, Andrew. So
we wanted to take this opportunity after 1 year. We just finished our 12th episode, so 1 year-ish. You know, rabbinic lives are definitely fluid with how time is apportioned and used, for sure. And we wanted to share a conversation about where we've been for the past year, where we want to go in the next year. So I thought of, as Passover looms, four questions. Where do we begin? Where have we gone in the past year? Where are we now? And where do we want to go in the coming year and beyond? So okay. Four questions to guide our rethinking the podcast for the coming year. So I wanted to begin this podcast a little over a year and a half ago. Went to a rabbinical assembly convention looking for creative partners. Met Lindsay. We had not yet met before, I think.
I think we had met a little bit at RTI, but hadn't interacted extensively.
Right. So we met at Rabbi Camp. And I wanted to do a podcast about looking at sci-fi and fantasy through a Jewish lens, tied to the Jewish calendar and tied to other Jewish ideas, and certainly wanted to have an audience to interact with. I would say of those goals, podcast, check. Creative partner, check. Tie into calendar, check. We did that many, many months. Was it once a month? Check. Darn close. Engage with the audience. We know we have dozens of listeners, but I would not say engaging at the level I had imagined yet. That's okay. So where did this begin for you?
I think either we can frame this as different Girsaot or Midrashim on the beginnings of the podcast, because Girsaot, for those who don't know, are different versions or readings of the text, as sometimes comes up in various areas of Jewish studies. And Midrashim, different storytelling about biblical narratives. So I knew who you were. We had met at RTI, and then we went to RA convention. And my recollection of things was that this seemed to kind of come about organically, rather than it being like, I've come in, Andrew, with a specific idea, because the conversations that I remember having were particularly on this bus. This convention was in St. Louis. And so what do you do in St. Louis? One of the things you do in St. Louis is you go to the Budweiser Brewery. And so we had a trip to the Budweiser Brewery. And, you know, people were talking on the way to the brewery. People were talking a lot more on the way back from the brewery for reasons that might be obvious. We're very chatty. And yeah, I remember getting into a conversation with Andrew and a few other people about kind of just pop cultural things in general. And I don't know, maybe Andrew had this seed of an idea in mind where you're trying to find out who might be interested in engaging with this more. But then it seemed like there were a few people who might be interested. We decided to have a group of people, anybody who was interested, come and have lunch together during one of our meal times and talk about what the format could be and engage interest that way. And so that's what we did. I don't know, maybe Andrew had this whole machination, but it felt to me more like things were coming together from the conversations that we were having. And in a lot of ways, I think this mirrors the conversation that we're having now, which is how have things come together in our experience over the course of the past year. One of the things that's come up in some of our conversations has been about the way that things emerge organically in our conversation and wanting to embrace that. So maybe that's a good transition into the next questions.
So things did emerge organically at that convention, but I definitely went trying to find people who would be interested in doing it. And part of it is seeing who wants to actually engage in the conversation, who gets drawn into the conversation. That was organic, but I definitely had the seed of the idea going in, which was to find people. So it was a bit of a machination, and it was also organic. We began with four people, and then two just like, no, because life did not permit them to make the time for it. That's okay. Maybe they'll be guests in the coming year. So that question is, where have we gone in the past year? So I was looking over our various topics. They're pretty wide ranging. I love the content we've created and the conversations we've had. And definitely things emerge organically in ways we even didn't anticipate during some episodes. Back over the year, I remember this feeling of anxiety with of did we look at sci-fi and fantasy through a Jewish lens? I remember struggling with that metaphor, which was the original metaphor I had gone with or proposed. And I remember just regularly feeling, we really do that. It wasn't quite like that. It was a little bit different. I stand by every episode we did, but it wasn't quite what I had pictured in my head as the thing we were going to do originally. And at the end of the year, now we have dozens of listeners on lots of different platforms. Not a lot of engagement with people. There were some emails early on. That's kind of quieted. It's gone to zero. But there are people who do listen to this podcast regularly. And I guess I would like to hear more from them about the kind of big questions that they would like us to address, which is a good segue into Lindsay's reframing of what we're actually doing.
My reframing of what we're actually doing. Wow. Okay. Well,
Well, I didn't think of it. You thought of it.
this is true. I did kind of initiate this conversation, and I'm not sure where to start with this because I think part of what I was feeling, similar to Andrew, was right. We maybe had gone in with this idea of we're going to address these areas or topics, and we're going to always, make sure that we're bringing back in the Jewish lens as like an analytical tool. And that wasn't quite what happened. What ended up happening, and this is our kind of new languaging around this, is that it felt like there's an exploration of the connections and intersections between the realms of sci-fi fantasy and Jewish wisdom, Jewish tradition. And that it's, for me, it's what's compelling about this and interesting and engages me is that they are all different ways of exploring the big questions that we all have as human beings, or just about existence in general, about the nature of, to quote Douglas Adams, as I often do, life, the universe, and everything. I think they are all ways of right, exploring these themes that are alive and present in the collective imagination. And we touch on that a lot of times or engage with that in our episodes. It comes back over and over again. And so I think for me, allowing space for that. For that to be our guiding principle is that this is about exploration, and that sometimes that exploration is not linear. Sometimes it is that we're engaging in sort of this mythos that is both rooted in things that are quite ancient, and I think Jewish texts and tradition have absolutely influenced and are encoded in like the cultural DNA in at least Western societies or any societies that have been influenced by Abrahamic faith traditions, they're woven in, to use another one of my favorite about weaving, into new stories that are created. But I think that there, as we have talked a bit about Joseph Campbell and different narrative arcs and the hero's journey, and if there are only a few kinds of stories that exist in the world, there's this exploration going on of the collective symbols, myths, archetypes, stories, whatever we want to call them, that continue to be compelling and sources of inspiration for people throughout time and across cultures and context.
You remind me of a teaching by Joel Lowrie Griss, who was a Jewish educator, the father of modern religious school textbooks that are visually engaging and bring in story, myth, narrative in a deep way. He thinks there are only three stories: creation stories, redemption stories, and revelation stories, to which I add two more, exile and return. Those are the Jewish master stories. And they're universal stories too. To see where all of these myths and symbols appear, both in sci-fi and fantasy and Judaism, is so interesting to me too. Just where each of them plays with, deals with all of these different things in different ways. And I feel so relieved not to have to look at one from the point of view of the other. So I'm grateful just to focus on the interplay and not to worry about which one's the correct analytical tool to analyze the other. So thank you for putting aside that metaphor and looking at a much more organic, generative metaphor.
Yeah,
I feel that way too. For me, it creates a sense of space and maybe allowing for more creativity and embracing the non-linear of some of our conversations as actually being the way to engage with this. And as I was looking into some things to help as I was preparing for this conversation and thinking about the podcast going forward, I'm compelled by the idea of mythopoetics. The idea that, right, the language that we engage with these deeper questions and stories can't be analytical and rational, that it's the language of poetry and symbol and metaphor is what enables us to get at some of these things. And to talk about Joseph Campbell a little bit in Myths of Light, one of his books, he says, to see life as a poem and yourself participating in that poem is what the myth does for you. I feel, not only through engaging with this content, but actually in the creation of this podcast and the conversations that we're having, it's a part of the process of actually participating in the poetry of these myths, of these stories, of these sacred realms, as we call them.
I'm very interested in that, reducing our analytics and focusing more on that mythopoetic. I don't ever use that term about my own creative writing, but I do engage in mythopoetic thinking and writing, and interested in exploring more about how those symbols are adapted, changed, and evolved in different readings. And thinking about, in particular, the mythic understanding of the Exodus narrative, and preparing for the Seders in 2 weeks, I always try to get people not just to tell the story as an external narrative of collective memory, but to see how the narrative also runs through their own lives in certain symbolic or metaphorical ways. We're having people actually make collages about their own movement from enslavement towards freedom in the past year in a very don't overthink it kind of way. And I always want people to see themselves as having gone through a personal exodus, or having seeing how the myth of the exodus also plays out on the individual scale. And that not only connects them to the collective, but also mythopoetically speaks to their own experience and their own life journey. So I'm curious who will actually take us up on the offer to make a collage. We're making a couple times to do that.
I think also, to me, like, the idea of using collage as the way feels like it gives people access, because I've also engaged in different kinds of creative processes, including the Jewish studio process, which involves actually creating art, but it's welcoming to people who do not feel that they have any kind of artistic ability. But even so, it can be hard for a lot of people who don't feel like they're artistic or creative to engage that way. Collage can be a really accessible way of doing it, because you're taking pre-existing pieces and putting them together. And for me, that sounds like a great metaphor for the way that I would like people to engage with Jewish tradition, or with all of the myths and symbols that we're taking. Like, what would it be like for us to kind of say, it's like, okay, like, this piece is like one fragment, or I don't know what we call the individual pieces that we put together in the collage. It's a concrete, like, thing that you can piece together as you're creating your own self-understanding and relationship to the Jewish narrative or Jewish story. As you were talking about this, one example that came to mind for me is, because I'm so immersed in this, I do this organically, thinking about, right, the experience of being in Mitzrayim. We talked about the word Mitzrayim in Hebrew seems to be related to narrowness or constriction. So I'll use that metaphor for myself, and in my own writing and, you know, speech, I really feel like I'm in this place of constriction and I need to move out of that to a place of expansiveness. So for me, that would be something representing that might be in my metaphorical or actual collage. what are the key images, metaphors, stories from the Jewish story that speak to my own story?
Yeah, I remember feeling as a child relating to Isaac and the Binding of Isaac. Not that my parents ever, number one, took me camping. Number two, threatened my life. We didn't do either. But as a child, felt just more Isaac-esque. And then when I have children, felt much more like Abraham as the one that I had more resonance with. And as co-parent, sometimes actually as Sarah, where if Paula is engaged with one of our kids and I'm outside that conversation, not that it's that extreme, but like parent on the outside of a very intense parent-child interaction, even feeling like Sarah sometimes, which is another kind of role that a parent can play, which was, I'm not part of their conversation. They're working it out. So yeah, I think it's very helpful. And maybe we'll even be choosing topics that are even just more mythopoetic and symbolic, just like very like abstract topics, like restriction, and just see how that resonates, see where that leads us. That might be what we do, just a little more, even more abstract, and then see where Judaism picks up on that and other sci-fi films pick up on that. I was watching X-Men 97 last night because it's, professionally I should be. And there's a whole episode about the role of memory. It was all about memory. Am I my memories? If I can't remember, who am I still? With those who were dead, how do we remember them? Is it, does it keep them alive? Is that a delusion? All kinds of ways that memories played out in this one animated cartoon about mutants. But there memory played a really important role. So that dealt with like a major issue about human life, which is what is the role of memory? So, you know, even just that theme of memories can be very generative.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's very exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
We've talked about bringing on guests this year, which I'm looking forward to. We've got a few colleagues and friends who are very interested to be on the podcast. We'll figure out what that looks like. Maybe something more, maybe, and one person might be talking about like a specific body of work that they've watched or engaged with, or maybe it's just like a certain theme that they want to address, whatever it might be. And that'll be fun. Yeah. So that's where things are going to change in the next year. We're going to keep it to a tight hour out of respect for everyone's time. We're going to keep all the segments. And
yeah, and we also had the idea of trying to, in the spirit of wanting to engage more with our audience actively, we're hoping to have more listener contributions in the form of maybe potentially contributing to asking the she'elah, or the question of the month. And we can think about that expansively. So I'm very curious to hear what people might come up with, right? If it's, you know, a question about a particular theme, where we might see a theme emerge in Jewish tradition and its connections with sci-fi fantasy. If there is a theme, maybe even for an episode, right? If somebody's like, I really want to hear about this topic or this idea.
It could be topic, idea, could be a big question. Whatever it might be, you know, and we'll consider it. No we guarantees, it. But we'll consider it. We'll read every email.
We will read every email. If there's something that is a suggestion that you might have and that we can engage with, we'll consider it and for sure give people credit if we know they're a way to identify them, whether it's your actual name or you'd rather be known by a different name, you can let us know. And we will let people know that we have gathered some of these ideas from our listeners.
That sounds great. Right. That's where we're going to go in the next year.
Stay tuned for more.
So that concludes this special episode of Sacred Realms. Thank you for making the time to listen. We hope you enjoyed this conversation as we prepare for the next year of diving into the nexus of Jewish wisdom, science fiction, and fantasy. We hope you come back to hear more. If you like this episode, please leave us a positive review or rating. You can also listen to all of our previous episodes wherever you find your podcasts. We recorded this episode on Squadcast and edited using Discord. And please reach out to us with questions, comments, and suggestions in general or for the She'elah, the question of the month, at sacredrealmspodcast@gmail.com. May the Mefarshim be with you.